Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man. Shit is crazy, y'all. What am I gonna do? I find a new job.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we're continuing with our Going to the Movies series with the 2014 Jon Favreau's Chef.
Yeah, Going to the Movies.
Yeah, we're back. Back at the movies. Maybe not in person. Maybe not at the Cinema Regal or the Cineplex.
I miss the movies, actually, like in the theater. I'm not going to lie.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily miss the movies because I don't go to that many.
Well, no, just for like the big stuff. You know, I think I'm going to miss it when the big stuff comes out again.
They're going to have to rapid fire these big stuff.
Yeah.
Because
we missed a whole year of solid movie shows.
A whole year. Did anything come out before March?
No, because nothing does come out before March. Everything, you know how it is. Summer is where your blockbusters come out, and usually you might sneak a movie in. I think the last big movie that came out before like spring was Black Panther.
Okay.
I remember it came out early in the year, and it was
because they didn't really know what they had.
Exactly. It was like a sneaky movie.
Yeah. It hit everybody over the head.
I know.
Well, before we get into the movie, we promised in our third season that we'd give you some more, some different content.
Yeah.
And we want to showcase your all-star at your restaurant, whether it's a bartender or server, what have you, and enlighten the people as to, you know, have them come on the show and enlighten us and others their tricks of the trade or why, you know, why they're even considered a rock star, what their overall views on certain things and solutions are. And so if you go to our Instagram at the Modern Waiter Podcast, I'd like you to follow us and nominate someone and we'll, you know, contact them and see if it's a good match for the show.
We'll wrap it up around them.
Yeah, buddy. So I know it's a 2014 movie, but I hadn't seen it before.
Neither have I.
So we'll do the obligatory spoiler alert. Okay. And it's on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
For sure. It's
before
solid.
Before you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So
if you haven't seen it, stop.
Yes.
The podcast.
It's not in our best interest to tell people not to listen.
Yeah.
But we're not telling you not to listen.
We're just telling you to come back to it.
Yes.
Because this is actually, I really enjoyed this one.
Really?
I'm a really big fan of Jon Favreau anyways. From way back in the Swingers days. Obviously, if you people who don't know who Jon Favreau is, he brought you a lot of things in the MCU, a lot of things on Disney as of late. He is really creatively, he does a really good job of what he does. He's the guy behind Jungle Book, Lion King, Iron Man, The Mandalorian. You know, he's the guy right now.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's a really big IT director, especially with the big studios.
Well, I mean, the first movie that I've known him with is Swingers.
Yeah. 1996.
Your money, baby.
Yeah, you're so money, you don't even know it. And that was his real breakout. Like, he was in other movies. He was, like, in Rudy, but he wasn't. That was his first directorial debut, and he's with my boy Vince Vaughn, and that's my guy, too.
He's quite the artist.
Yeah.
Like, he can throw out some art, draw all that stuff, and they have, on Netflix, there's a series called Chef.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's based off the movie?
Well, the movie's kind of playing off of, you know, the show's playing off of the movie,
okay.
But he wrote the movie
It looked like it was a passion project. It's right in the middle of his whole MCU stuff.
Yes. And the gentleman, well, let's go into it first.
Okay.
Because I want to go through this movie. So you said you liked it.
I did. All right.
And the movie starts out music and he's prepping.
Yep.
You know, he's a chef. He's in the back of the house. Yep. He's in the kitchen. It's a nice kitchen by all accounts.
Yeah.
This is in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's prepping.
Yeah.
Cutting up stuff. All in.
You see him getting the slicing and the dicing, and you really see how they, you know, how a chef is showing the art of the chef.
Yes, he's showing off his knife skills. Now, keeping in mind, we are not chefs.
No.
We love to cook, but, you know, I don't want anybody contacting us and saying, oh, that's not, you know, that movie's bunk or whatever. Hey, it's a movie.
Yeah.
You know, Superman can't fly, so we, you know, John Favreau can cook, okay?
Exactly.
But overall, it starts out, and there's a big critic coming in today.
Like that day.
That day, he knows about it. He's a food blogger, mm-hmm. and this is set in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And so he's going to go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, he's going to grab all the things he wants. He got his pig in. He got some things in
there. Yes.
He got his key ingredients in. He's making a special menu. He's ready to run it out and really hit this critic with everything
the best
he's got.
He has. Yeah. Yes. He is imagining a new menu for tonight.
Yeah.
It seems to be an upscale restaurant.
Absolutely. Something in LA, something nice and posh somewhere. We don't know where, but you know.
Yeah. But at the same time, the whole movie, it's about him in the restaurant, but it's also about him and his family.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so he's late picking up his son.
Yes.
So he's going to pick up his son. Oh, I forgot. A very typical thing. Well, it can't be typical, but not surprising. When he goes out to his car, his sous chef is hungover in his car.
He goes, what are you doing? He goes, I slept here because I knew I had to be here.
Exactly. He slept in his car overnight at the restaurant parking lot because he knew he had to be there. So least of all you got to do is wake him up and get him.
You know, keep him moving.
Keep him moving. Get him some
water
coffee.
In his face.
Exactly. And he looks like hell.
No, he did. Yeah.
He looks like
hurting.
He looks like hot garbage.
Yeah. They have my boy John Leguizamo, who's like the line cook or whatever, but he's also one of the chef's best friends. And he mm-hmm. comes in and he goes, and that's how they find out that he's out. You know, when he's leaving, he's like, yeah, we had a rough night. Like, you've talked to the sous chef?
Yeah. He's out in his car. So he wakes him up. He's like, all right, get everything in order. I'm going to go to the farmer's market. Yeah. Picks up his kid. And then you start to, at least for me, get that sense of he's not necessarily the best dad.
Well, you could tell. It's a story about, yes. At that point, he's not a great dad.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming in and he's so wrapped up in his work. And not saying he's not a good or bad dad. He's so wrapped up in his work that he's overlooking the things that should matter more.
Okay. So let me qualify my statement. Okay. He is an excellent father. You know, he is there. He's present. And a father is just someone who seeds a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and most of us, it's the lowest bar that we can pass mm-hmm. for is being a father. You know, you want to, you seed the kid, you want to be around and things like that. And being a dad is for me anyway, is more of the interpersonal relationship
the communication with you and the kid.
Yeah,
the relationship, the real relationship
yes,
you have.
The real relationship you have. Listening. He was not listening to his kid at the farmer's market.
No.
You know, they were basically talking and he's talking
so wrapped
over
up in
the
his work.
Kid and stuff
yeah,
like
he's,
that.
Yeah, he was just trying to be with his kid because it was his time to be with his kid.
Correct.
And
you get
and get
that
rid
sense.
Of his kid as soon as possible because in his mind, he had to go take care of his stuff for the day.
He didn't even want to take him to the farmer's market in the first place.
No.
He wanted to drop him off at the restaurant because his squeeze was there, who works there.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson. And he got the band back together a little bit.
Yeah.
Because
there's some people from the MCU in this, and it was solid. I mean, the cast is pretty solid.
So far we see John Leguizamo, Scarlett Johansson, Dustin Hoffman hasn't come in
yet,
but he's in it, And Sofia Vergara yeah. is his ex-wife. So it's good to be the king.
Yeah.
And so he goes and take it for granted that, you know, he goes to the farmer's market. Then he comes back to the restaurant. He's
ready
for tonight.
He's ready.
Okay.
He's got all his ingredients in.
Yeah. Sauces.
He's ready to make it happen. He's starting to get his team lined up, ready to go. And boom, Dustin Hoffman walks in.
Who's the owner?
Yes, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, the owner comes in, and then you get the sense of a power struggle.
Yes.
Okay? And now it becomes a business.
Exactly.
Okay? Which, it is a business. It's always a business. Okay? So you see that Dustin Hoffman is confronting him in a lot of ways about what he's going to prepare tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. He makes an off comment about no one, you know, understands your menu. If you do it, they have a menu that everyone understands.
Yeah. Right now. So the menu as a whole right now, when Dustin Hoffman comes in, is it's older. It's worked. It's been in play for a while.
It's the hits.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What a menu should be.
Yeah, exactly. What John Favreau is trying to portray as the chef is he wants to give this food critic who saw him many years ago something new to let him know that he's still refreshing and vibing in this game that's so interchangeable with their parts. And I think that's what he was trying to portray. And then when the owner came in and says, you know, it's about this, you know, I want this, that, and the third. And John Favreau's in his head is trying, I'm trying to put out this new hit song.
Yeah.
And you're killing it right now. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want to sing these songs. I want to play the new hit that I'm working on.
And that's a power struggle. Like if you go to a concert and all this band, you're sold these tickets because they like your hits.
True. Okay?
Now the band wants to play their new stuff. Nobody knows that new stuff. Okay. They may not know it. They may not like it. They may not understand it. They want to hear the hits. So I get it. I'm not, you know, just saying, oh, he should have done this or he shouldn't have done that. It plays out the way it plays out.
Exactly. And the owner's not wrong, but the owner wasn't.
He wasn't right either.
Yeah. And all John Favreau says, I need you to trust me tonight.
Yeah.
I need you to trust me. I got this. Okay. I'm here. I'm the guy you wanted in this place. Let me do what I do.
So here's my question. Did he trust him or did John Favreau didn't trust himself and then went with the regular degular?
I think honestly that he broke under the pressure. I don't think it was that if he could have said and with the double fingers up right to your face, I think he would have if he had the finance. Because you could tell like Favreau's like he's working, but he's not ahead like he wants to be. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he has a boss and it's a relationship.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's up to him to navigate.
Absolutely.
This, you know, this owner, you know, and they kind of went head to head. When sometimes when you go strong at somebody else's strong, everybody just digs in and nothing gets accomplished.
Exactly.
So he could have aligned himself a little bit different to let him know, hey, listen, this is your restaurant and you let me lead the band.
Yeah.
You know, let me do this. And if you can negotiate certain times, it's, you know, yeah. blah, 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 blah. But, you know, he came in hard. Then I feel like he caved again, not in a way that he, you know, bellied up, but he went against his gut.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Was the sense that I got.
He totally went against his gut, and he knew he went against his gut. He went with the stuff because he was trying to appease the owner, and he went against his better judgment.
Correct. So the
night goes off without a hitch, though.
Yeah, the night goes off without a hitch. He plays the hits. He does the thing, and the critic comes in, and then he gets a bad review.
Well, let's actually set up the review because that's a big part of it. So when the review comes in, they're sitting at the bar and they're having a drink, and John Favreau's reading through the review, and the first
couple of words, sentences,
the first paragraph is spot on. It's exactly what John Favreau wants to hear, and then it just takes this turn. And
guts him.
Oh, he rips out his inner belly.
And it was a flawless victory.
It was. He murdered him. And exactly what he said is almost what John Favreau in his head knew was going to be said, though.
True.
I felt like he's like, this is why he wanted to run that menu, because he knew that you know, it was exactly what we're saying. That critic didn't come to hear the hits. He came to hear that new song.
Correct.
He wanted to hear the new song and see what new material you were here for me.
Yes.
Where you have evolved to as an artist.
Yes.
Because you're an artist.
Yes, you are an artist.
We want to see where you have evolved to, because anybody, not anybody can make a hit, but once you have a hit, anybody can sustain a hit. Even like we can even talk back when we were watching Ratatouille, mm-hmm. when what happened with the chef, when they came in and they needed a new hit.
Correct.
You know what I mean? The same idea where they were playing those hits, and they're those hits, but those hits were from the past. They wanted something new and fresh, and that's exactly what happened right there.
It's amazing because, you know, business meets art, and sometimes business wins and sometimes art wins.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a beautiful thing when they, you know, they rise together.
Absolutely.
But one follows the other, and most likely the art is going to, you know, lead first, with no one behind him.
Yep.
And then business
people jump
catches
on
up. Yeah.
Exactly.
So he didn't trust his gut. The owner didn't want this. You know, he is, you know, working, so to speak.
Exactly.
And he got the bad review. But sometimes it's those things that hurt you so bad, because this is what you do. This is your passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be some truth in it, and that's why it cuts even deeper.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who fashions themselves to be an artist.
Absolutely.
You're burying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're butt naked.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, whether it's a song or food,
mm-hmm.
you need that validation. Otherwise, you'd be cooking at home for your family.
Absolutely.
You know, you step out on that ledge and that limb, and if that limb breaks and nothing, you know, is there to break your fall, you're crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was crushed.
He was crushed. He was crushed. And where are we at in the movie right now? So right after, this is after the review comes out.
The review comes out, and then you start to see that, you know, and his, you get the sense of what his divorce is like.
Yeah.
Right? He's dating the maitre d'.
Yeah.
Who's Scarlett Johansson.
Exactly.
I don't want to say dating.
He's, yeah.
It's a thing. Something's there. Something's there. Yeah, it's a thing. It's not a steady thing. It's not a, they
no, it's
she has
a
respect for him.
Yes.
And you kind of see that, you know, like chef uses the food.
Oh, yeah.
As a hook.
Oh, he totally uses the food. Because so right after that, to kind of bring himself back to normal and to make himself feel better, as he's with Scarlett and they're talking, and he kind of leans in for a kiss, and she goes, "I don't know if we should do this." And he goes, "How about this? How about I cook for you, and then we'll go from there."
Yeah.
So the food is like the sex appeal, and you can see it on her face. It had her.
It's like a massage.
It was like, yeah, it was like a deep tissue right there. Okay, and you can see the magic behind the food and how it gets people.
Yeah,
the art of it, you know, almost like. Even we comparing it to music and stuff, like being somewhere and an artist is making a song and you get to be a part of that magic. She was a part of the magic of him making that dish at that moment.
And let's face it, it's like why musicians get the girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They are attracted to the artistry.
Yeah.
And
it's charisma. It's, you know, all the above, the magic of it and all of it, you know.
And you cook. Good Lord. You know,
right?
That's the get right there. So, you know, he struggles to make relatable dishes. The overall theme, you know, it's do you build it and they will come? Or when they come, are they not going to understand what sweetbreads are?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, years ago, I probably still don't know what sweetbreads are. You know, the thalamus or something. There's like organs, glands or something. Pancreas or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some soft tissue.
Than me.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my point. So if you have sweetbreads on the menu and people don't understand it.
There's always going to be, I mean, but that's also a part of the experience is learning, you know, opening your palate to these kind of things with certain chefs. And it's okay if it doesn't work.
What percentage of people are going to order something they don't understand?
Maybe 20 at most.
You literally would have to say, shut up and eat it.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, it's free.
Once, true.
Yeah, because once there's money involved, people are gonna,
yeah,
you know,
they're gonna go what they like.
They're gonna go with what they like, what they know.
Absolutely.
And I've had chefs who really complicate the descriptions, and it turns people off because mm-hmm. they don't understand it.
Yeah.
And as a server, it's your job to bridge that gap. But if they don't even give you an inkling and they just point to the chicken,
yeah.
or the whatever that they know that they can pronounce and understand, But when you get these complex, you know, absolutely sounding ingredients and stuff like that,
it's hard to sell. You're right.
It's hard to sell. Well, it's hard for the, it intimidates the guest to the point where you can't even make the sale.
True.
You know, they won't even ask about it or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I know what squab is. When they were going through the power struggle between the owner and the chef, he was like, he mentioned a couple things and da 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 da. He's like, I want you to make them my menu. This is my menu, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. So you see that
the critic rips him apart.
The critic rips him apart. Then you see the warts in his family life.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily between the wife is beautiful. She's successful. She's actually very nice.
She's very nice. And then they have a good, I want to say a good co-parenting relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, because she's understanding, you know, they feel like they get along as friends.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
They get along. But the son and the father,
their relationship is, you know, it's not as what the son wants it to be. You could tell the son's looking for love and just attention. Just
he misses attention. His dad.
Yeah, like real, just normal dad stuff.
And that was tough. That was tough for me to watch.
Yeah, that was hard to digest, but it was also the reality of it, which makes it a good movie to me.
Yeah, it gives you the feels in that situation where he's wrapped up with work. Now he doesn't even have, he's still at work, actually.
He still has a job. Yeah, no, he still has a job. We're not, so right now, at this point,
he's figuring out Twitter.
The son teaches him Twitter. Yeah. At this point, he doesn't even know about Twitter. So before all the Twitter stuff happens, the review comes out. He goes to the kitchen and he goes in there and he lays down a spread.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's cooking all night. You know, he's like, you know, fuck it.
This is what I do. I cook when I'm happy. I cook when I'm sad. I cook when I'm angry.
He's trying to fix what happened. You know, bring a new remedy to light. Start, you know, put some new specials out. And really get himself back in his mind to where it should be at.
Mm-hmm.
And he had completed it at that point when his sous chef and his line cook come in. They're his good friends. And like, yo, try this. And, you know, like, and like, chef, you're the man.
Yeah.
And he needed that. He needed that. You're the man. He needed that. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not.
Validation.
Validation. I knew it was a V word. Okay. He needed his validation again to kind of really bring him back. But the thing that threw him off was the first thing the sous chef and the line cook come in when they say, oh, did you see the Twitter?
True.
And John Favreau is like, what the hell is, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, he's like, F Twitter.
Yeah, like he's like, what are you talking about? What is Twitter? Yeah. You know, he doesn't even know what social media is. You know what I mean? He's not from that timeline.
Yeah.
And this is where the son and the dad finally make a connection at this point, because the father asks the son, he has a son at home.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, what's Twitter? And the son really starts to bring him into the technology of it. And the son makes him an account. And you can see, and this is where he tells dad, said, see, this dad, this is what I like to do with you.
Yeah, and how old is his son? Son's what?
His son is 10.
10? Okay, yeah. So the son signs him up for Twitter.
Yeah.
And chef's still burning. And because he wanted to read all the bad stuff people were talking about him on Twitter.
The son's telling him, dad, you went viral. Like, you know, like that comment had went viral. Which was huge.
The review.
The review had went viral.
Yeah. Yeah, it went viral. So his name is out there.
Exactly.
He signs up, and then he thinks he's sending overnight, you know.
He's reading through everything, and he thinks he's sending a private message to the critic.
The critic.
And unknowingly, he sends it to the world. And then it starts this whole...
He adds him.
Yeah, he just... It goes crazy.
He goes, what was the comment? You wouldn't know, you know.
You wouldn't know good food if it
sat on your face.
Yes. Okay. And by the morning, John Favreau has almost 2,000
followers,
which is unheard of overnight. The son says, like, you know, you're killing it right now. Like, he goes, what did you do, dad?
So he ends up inviting him back.
Yes.
You know, a little Twitter beef happens. He says, I'll cook for you. You want to see? I'll cook for you. The house gets packed.
Nuts.
And then in comes the owner again. John Favreau's like, look it. I'm not going to, you know, we know he doesn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know he doesn't like this food.
He crushed us. He goes, I'm here to fix that pretty much.
Yeah.
Let me do what I wanted to do to begin with. And let's fix this. Let's remedy this.
And they get into an even bigger...
A huge blowout, and Favreau stands his ground, because at that point you have to.
At that point, there's no use in doing the same thing expecting a different result.
And so say, hey, you know what? I'm out. He threw the double fingers up at him pretty much. And he tried to bring his band with him, but the band didn't come.
Oh, he tried to Jerry Maguire. Who's coming with me?
Okay. And it didn't work out, but he understood it. He wasn't like angry at them. He understood it was a business. And
he wanted to take the sous chef.
Yeah, he wanted the sous chef. He was ready for the sous chef to come with him.
Yeah, sous chef was like, I got bills and shit.
Yeah, like legit. Like, oh. And you know, you get that. And so he's like, I'm out. And then you see him go home. And while the kitchen's doing their thing, you see him making the dish that he really wanted to prepare.
Yeah, so it was hard to vilify the owner because he had some good points.
Absolutely.
He said, my restaurant's not filled with critics. They're filled with people who've been coming here for years.
Which is fine. And
for
I feel
your
like,
menu.
And I feel like those people can get whatever they want, you know, but for the critic, let me do what I'm doing.
No, because you're not going to make two different kitchens, basically.
I hear what you mean, yeah.
You know, so... But you could also, for the betterment of your restaurant, you can fall back one night while, you know,
yeah,
you got to fall back to spring forward.
Yeah, exactly.
But for the purpose of the movie, he dug in. He was like, gave him the ultimatum, which is never a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, you can't challenge a man.
Exactly.
He's going man up.
And he did.
He bounced.
Yeah.
So he quits. He goes home. He starts, you know, cooking. Then the critic shows up. It's like, he's confused. He's being served the same food
he murdered. The same food he murdered.
And he thought it was a joke.
He's talking to Scarlett and he's like, is this the... And then another, is this the... He's like, but he's baffled at this point.
He's baffled.
Okay, like...
So he asked for the chef. He's like, oh, he's not here or whatever.
Yeah.
Chef's at home cooking. He comes to the restaurant to confront the guy.
No. Well, he only comes because he sends out a thing. He goes, so my chef's a no-show. Like he blows him up on Twitter again.
As he should.
Yeah.
So he comes into the restaurant and he pours out his feelings. He's like, you hurt me. You're not going to get me. He makes a scene.
Lays into him.
He lays into him. People start videoing
that. That goes viral.
That video goes viral because he goes nuts on him.
He went nuts in the restaurant. There's at least 12 different cameras on him. It was almost like that Cleveland bus driver joint. Okay.
So now he flies off the handle. He has no job, and his ex is like, listen, I got to go to Miami. She seems very well off.
Even from the beginning, the ex was like, hey, stop working for somebody. You know, just do a food truck, and you know, I got you. Like, I'll help you. You're good. You know you can do this on your own.
And he downplays the food truck. He's like, I'm a chef. Imagine me in a food truck.
Exactly.
You know, he's like, so he kind of downplays it. And she goes, you know, just come. And it was odd, the terminology.
Because he started in Miami. The chef started in Miami.
Yes.
And so he's like, come, you know, Sophia
Vergara.
She goes, we're going to go see my dad. You know what I mean? All three of us, you're not working right now. You didn't take, you're supposed to take your son somewhere. You guys had a father-son trip.
You're supposed to go to New Orleans.
Yes. You had a father-son trip planned and you canceled on him. Obviously, we understand why you don't have a job right now. But
He's hurt.
He wants to spend some time with his dad. And why don't you just come and you can watch your son while I take care of business.
She uses the word babysit.
Nanny. Nanny is the exact, we're not even babysit. Nanny. So you want me to come in?
He uses the word nanny because the nanny can't travel.
Yes.
So.
So you want me to come be a nanny?
Yeah, you want me to come babysit? And I was like, it's your kid.
Yeah, it's not. He's not your, exactly.
They're being there. Yeah. You know, that's what you do. So, and I thought that was kind of telling. And now it starts to peel back the interpersonal relationship.
Yes.
In the movie. And then you just see how he's more of a father than a dad because he wants to be there, but he doesn't really connect or listen. He's a little awkward, trying to be
like a Disney dad. You know, you can see like he takes his kid like to roller coasters and stuff like that, but he's not connecting with his kid.
Yeah, he wants to be a provider.
Yeah.
And which is understandable because, you know, for a lot of men, being a provider is where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, and he feels less of a provider now that he has no job. So he starts to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he starts to withdraw from his son. He starts to, you know, question himself with the ex and say, hey, you know, don't worry about me, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't want to take any charity, so to speak. So anyway,
his pride gets in his way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they end up going to Miami. He ends up greasing and goes to Miami. And they all go out and they have a great family night at the grandfather's.
And then there's a little spark between them.
Him and the wife. Yeah, you know,
and the ex.
It was a, you know what it was? It was them being together. And with the music and nostalgia, you could see that he came from that. And he's in his little salsa mood. And they're all dancing as a family. And they're enjoying themselves. And
dancing, eating. The son's there. The dad is there.
The grandfather. Yeah, it's family. You
it's
know,
all familiar.
It brings, yes, it's that familiarity, that nostalgia of why you're together in the first place, probably. You know what I mean?
True, true, true.
And they're sitting down. And he finally says, hey, you know what? You know, the son's asleep. He had a great night.
Mm-hmm.
Him with the grandfather and the mom and John, and they're all sitting there, and they're like, and he goes, you know what? I think I'll take you up on that offer about the food truck. And he'll go talk to her ex-husband, who is the man, my man, Iron Man himself, who makes a cameo in the movie.
Yes. It was more than a cameo. He had a part.
Yeah. My man, Robert Downey.
Robert Downey was the ex-husband. Quirky as ever.
Love him.
You know, I don't get the sense of what he does, though, for a living.
He's just a rich guy, I felt like he just, like, he invested. I think he just had a lot of different business opportunities out there.
He looked like an art gallery or something.
Yeah, he was the man, yo. He treated like an art gallery. Remember
Booty?
Yes, the booty.
She offered him booty?
Yes. And then, so the secretary walks him to the office, right? And you could tell that Robert Downey, he's almost like, it's like an extension of his Tony Starkness.
Yeah, like an artsy Tony. Instead of a techie Tony Stark, he's an artsy Tony Stark.
Exactly, right? Very extension of that. And
he has everyone wear, either take your shoes off, you got to wear these booties over your shoes.
Yes.
To go through my office.
To my office.
See Favreau just slipping around the whole place and stuff like that. And so he buys this food truck for him. Like, it's an oldie.
I think he just had it, you know, somewhere.
They bought it for him in mind because the ex was talking about
it. Oh, so it's been bought for a while.
That's where she, in the beginning of the movie, mentions the ex and says, hey, you can do this, blah, 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 blah. You know, you don't even have to, like, you can take your time paying it back or whatever the case may be.
Exactly.
So he buys it, pulls the food truck around. This thing is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, legit.
It's a dusty, old, rat infested.
It's a food truck.
Yeah.
But it's an old, I mean, you know, but it is what it is.
She gives him the okie doke. She drops the kid off while he's trying to clean up the truck.
He's inside the truck and he's getting everything tight. You know what I mean? Like, he's,
ripping stuff up.
He knows what it is. I mean, it's a kitchen. It's like walking into a kitchen that you know that's been closed for a few years.
Yeah.
It's the same idea. You know what I mean?
It is the idea. Yeah.
So he goes in there and he starts to gut it and he starts to do what he does because he's a chef.
Mm-hmm.
He understands the inner workings of things, and the mom drops off the son. And this is where they start to bond, though. I thought it was great. Like, you know, they fix the truck together, him and the son. And they, you know, at one point he's on the phone with John Leguizamo and he's asking what's going on up there. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's kind of, you know, you kind of see nostalgia. I got the food truck and I'm doing this. And this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? Oh, but actually what brought it all about was the Cuban sandwich. I forgot to throw that because it's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Dinner in Little Havana. I mean, it's late because the grandfather is in a salsa band.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating a Cuban sandwich. He goes, see, wake my son up. I want him to try this. He goes, no, he's asleep. He goes, and the grandfather goes, you make it for him. And the wife leans over and says, because you make the best one anyways.
Yeah, she goes, yours is better.
Exactly.
And he's like, he looks over at her.
So he in his mind, he goes,
that's the confirmation he needed.
That's the confirmation he needed because simplicity sells. You know what I mean? And to be
Well, it's more than that. He was questioning himself, especially after getting stabbed by the dude.
Murdered.
And the guts hanging out.
Yeah.
So now this woman that he values gives him that ultimate compliment because there he wants the beignets from New Orleans.
Yes.
He wants his kid to experience these things.
That's why he goes to the farmer. He goes, you know, he goes there and he picks out things that complement that flavor and that idea, and he tries to make it all work together as one.
But he's thinking authenticity in a way of you have to be there.
Exactly.
And when she says, well, you know, because they're from LA, and he says, well, yours are better than this place. Just because we're here doesn't mean that you can't make, you know, whatever. So you could tell that spark is in him now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, I'll meet him tomorrow. She's like, oh, I don't know if he's in town. And she's like, you're so full of shit. You know, you set this up.
You know he's here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so moving right along.
So now we're back at the food truck.
Yeah, we're back at the food truck, cleaning it up. And he's slowly connecting with his son, but not really. I feel like at this point he's just working his son.
He's working.
He's working him as a chef would work a sous chef or any other person.
Exactly. He's working as almost like as an employee.
Yes.
Okay. And then at one point there's a breaking. The son does a lot of great cleaning, mm-hmm. and then there's a breaking point. He smells something, and the thing is, and he throws it out, and the dad's like, "You got to clean that," and he lays it to him, and he goes, "I'm not cleaning nothing," you know, and he walks away and storms away.
It's like, why are you so mean to me?
Yeah.
Where, you know, he doesn't want to be treated as like a worker.
Yeah. I'm your son, pretty much, you know? And I think Favre, you know, after cleaning it all up and he realizes, he goes, man, you did a great job. And then they come back together, father, son at that point. You know what I mean? And then the next morning, John Leguizamo shows up.
Like.
In Miami.
Like
a miracle happens.
In Tombstone. What's his
name? He did the Doc Holliday show up.
He just like shows up. He's like, man, I can't miss this.
I can't. Yeah.
I told you when you had your next place, I'd be your sous chef. Yeah. So he leaves LA, comes to help his man out. The food truck cleaned up nicely. They went and bought some stuff.
They bought the stuff, you know, and now they're prepping stuff. They're trying to get the stuff on the thing. And John Leguizamo he's Puerto Rican, so he speaks Spanish. And
so before that, I want to mention a very touching scene when he goes to the supply store.
Yes, with the son.
And he buys his son his first knife.
Yes.
So he's a chef knife. It's very important, blah, 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 blah.
And they're buying all the supplies for the truck.
And the son's like, ooh, you know? Yeah. And that, to me, is one of the first connections.
Real connections.
He sees what his dad does and what things mean to his dad. Mm-hmm. So on the son's part, he starts to appreciate...
what his dad does.
Yeah, what his dad does and the food and things like that a little bit more. And John Favreau starts to connect and wants to share that part of him.
Yeah.
And then...
Then we have John Leguizamo come in.
Yes.
And now they're, you know, they're at this point, they're... lifting stuff, you know, they're
so let's move forward a little bit because it gets a little minutiae at this point as far as cleaning up the truck. Truck gets clean. So now they're working out their proof of concept. They cook for the people that helped them.
Exactly.
You know, put the big oven in the truck and things mm-hmm. like that. Tony Stark had some workers in the backyard and all kinds of stuff.
And now they cook for all them for free. And, you know, and there was a very valuable lesson that John Favreau teaches his son at this point. He's showing him how to make the sandwiches like what they're making. And he's teaching him how to have pride in it.
Yeah.
And at one point, one of the things was a little overcooked. And he says to his son, he goes, and the son said, makes a comment of, well, it's free.
Yeah, what do we care? It's free.
Exactly. So he pulls him aside. He goes, that's not the point. He goes, it doesn't matter if it's free or if you're charging. You're the artist at this point. Everything should come out. Because it's your name. It's you on the line at this point.
He tells him what it means to him.
Exactly. You know, as a chef,
you
know, this is my name. It doesn't matter what, you know, whether they're paying for it or not, whether it's... what we do.
Yeah.
And it was a really touching scene. It needed to be shown at that point.
Yeah. So wrapping it up, the son all the while is chronicling his trip with his dad, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. The mom's off working. Then they have to drive the food truck back.
From Miami all the way back to Cali.
Yes. So it was just going to be, hey, we're just going to go... drive, maybe hit a couple of spots.
Exactly.
Son wants to go with.
Yeah.
It's like, let me ask your mom. He asks his mom. She says yes. You know.
The
adventure begins.
They're cooking. They go to Miami first. They sell out really well there. The son is like, you know, he's Twittering and do all this crazy stuff.
Yes, very important. The son is Twittering.
Along the way.
He's
documenting the whole trip.
Yeah, he's tweeting. And that becomes their system a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, so... He wants to do a father thing or a dad thing and give his son some fun.
Yeah.
And the son's like, I'm having fun. He's like, how about we stop at Disney? He's like, why don't we just go to New Orleans?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and get some beignets. It's like, oh my God.
He goes, this is my kid.
Yeah. So they go to New Orleans and he's just not even thinking about work.
Yeah.
So he's starting to transform into a better dad.
Exactly. Yeah. And he does the whole beignet thing with him. And
yes.
And then they get back to the truck and you see John Leguizamo like in a panic. And then they bring
around. Where have you been?
Like, I've been calling you. What's going on?
He's like, what? I was with my son.
Yeah, you know, like.
We went shopping.
Exactly. And then they get back and there's this, because of the son, there is a line around the block.
Because of the son geo-tracking on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he has a name now.
Mm-hmm.
there's a line like around the block for the food truck.
Yeah.
They start cooking and then they realize, holy crap, this Twitter thing is
well, because neither John Leguizamo or the John Favreau knew where these people came from.
Yeah.
And so it didn't, you know, and then they start cooking, and then the son, after all that happens, he tells them what had happened.
Yeah.
And that's where you see the spark. He goes, you were the man who did, you're my marketing guy.
Yeah. Yeah. he starts to, and that's how it actually happened. When John Favreau was writing this movie, he modeled it loosely off of this guy's story.
Okay.
And so he was a trained, you know, chef mm-hmm. that ended up in a food truck. And it was the birth of Twitter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So then he figures out Twitter, and that's when he got all the lines and the notoriety mm-hmm. and the followers. And he just, you know, awesome. would go through the LA towns, end up in, you know, whatever beach at the end of the night. I saw an interview with him, and he's like, man, he goes, I just don't want a square job anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to work in somebody's kitchen. You know, we're parrots out here.
Exactly.
You know, he's all tatted up and he's just doing his thing. And he's the one that actually trained John Favreau for
the movie. Is that the guy at the end of the movie during the credits and they're showing him cooking stuff and stuff like that with the sandwich?
I don't remember.
At the end of the movie.
I didn't see the post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah. And during the credits, they show. Okay. I'm guessing that's the guy.
Must be, because that's what that's John Favreau and this guy in the actual series.
Yeah. Chef. Okay.
And they go through other people's kitchens and chefs cook for each other and things like that. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And so they're crossing the country now.
Yes.
And they get back to home base and they got this thing figured out. They're like, hey, Texas, we're coming to you. And then boom, you know, people come to the food truck and he's loving it. He's finding his zest for life. His son is joie de vivre, to speak.
He's found his original self.
Yeah.
And you know what? And he's on the phone with the ex-wife and you know, and she goes, what's going on? And you know, I can come meet my son. He goes, we're good. We're on our way. He's loving it.
Yeah.
We're having a good time. And they're having a good time. And you can see them really making that connection.
Yes. So his relation, now you're shifting back into the professional redemption story of the movie.
The reality of it. It clicks in at this point for John Favreau. He pulls him over side. They're in he goes, I don't know, you know, when he pulls his son aside and they're on the roof of the car and I think they're in Texas or in Austin or something. And he goes, you know, we'll be home soon. And
you got to go back to school.
Yeah. You know, things are going to go back to normal. He goes, but dad, I want to cook with you on the weekends and I don't want it to change that much. You know, what I mean? Like, I mean, I know I got to go to school, but I can still work for you. And this is what I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, I don't know if it's going to work. And this, that, and the third.
He's like, man, I gotta make this happen.
I gotta make this happen.
I gotta go to work in the coal mines. I can't have my kid in coal mines.
Exactly. and he finally, they get back to LA
mm-hmm.
and John Favreau drops him off and the son off and the mom's happy to see him and whatever. And there's a little touching nostalgic moment. And then he goes back home and he gets into his house and you can see, and he puts everything down and he goes.
His son sends him the vine.
The vine. Of the whole trip.
It's a combination. It was like a whole series of like 1 second videos from the whole trip.
From beginning to end, yeah.
Yeah, gives him that post. And then he realizes his whole story arc, you know, from being a dad. Because you could see like the little clips where he's not that, you know, close with the son mm-hmm. and kind of saying, hey, stop that or whatever, to the end where they had all these memories and situations together mm-hmm. and now he's like, this means something to this. You know, this means something to me.
My son is just an important part of this business as he should be in my life.
Yeah. And the two melt together because he has his professional redemption and his relationship redemption.
And it feels like, you know, like for him to keep that happiness that he has, that he needs to keep his son in his life, which is good.
Yeah, which is good. So then he works the system, the Twitter, the following, and you cut to him at this like whole park. With all these food trucks. And the camera kind of pans through the people and stuff like that. And lo and behold,
the critic's there.
That's what you noticed? You didn't notice the wife working in the dark
hole food truck? Oh, yeah. Of course I saw that.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, she was all in.
She was all in.
All in. Wife's working
on the food truck. Yeah. Like the whole time she is this I mean, she's nice, but
she's a businesswoman, though.
She is like,
she has crazy things going on at all
crazy
times.
Things like maids houses and under, nannies.
Houses under renovation. This dude, is going on. She's on the move. She's getting driven around in a Mercedes. I don't know if it was a Maybach
she
or what.
She has a driver.
Yeah, she has a driver.
Okay. And now she's on a food truck, so obviously their relationship has rekindled.
Yes.
You know, so not only is the son relationship redemption, the it mom was the ex-wife redemption. And that really was tough for me.
Yeah.
You know, because it reminded me a lot about my divorce and my situation, because during a divorce, you have to rewrite your story.
Absolutely.
And your relationships, you know, because as much as you'd like to, you know, pull your kid over and say, hey, you know, nothing's going to change. But you know who, you know,
everything
who
changes.
Says, you know, nothing's going to change? The person that's changing things, you know? So, and it's heartbreaking. So it was really challenging for me to watch this movie, although it's not the same arc, you know, I'm not with my ex or anything like that, but when you love someone, you want that happy ever after. But
absolutely,
that doesn't really work.
you're it's reality touching the art of it and everything, and it was very it hit home
because I'm not a happy ever after kind of guy at all. Okay. I'm not a rom-com, but this was a romantic comedy for me.
Okay.
You know, And it did. They got married at the end.
Yes.
You know, which why bother? But, you know, and so I was like, you know.
Yeah.
It felt good. It felt good for his character.
You saw the combination of I think what it was they, I think they showed it as they end up not being together because he was so involved in what he was doing. And
I don't think that's fair to say, because that's a guess. We don't know why they weren't together.
We don't. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it looked like, I mean, that looked like how they were trying to culminate it in the end.
What do
like,
you mean?
Like, it came full surface because with him being happy made her happy, and that's why they got back together. Like, he was able to be that person.
I don't know, because we were never presented as to what the problem was.
Yeah.
You know, we were never presented that. And really, I think that, I mean, it's a little bit off topic, right? When relationships don't work out, it's almost of a thing, some of them, it's a not right now. I've had relationships where I thought we would be good together in some ways, but who I was at that point and who she was at that point wasn't necessarily a match.
And then it became the right time.
And it became the right time.
Absolutely.
Is how I thought of it. Because
that makes sense.
You gotta let go of a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, what your notions are. And
exactly.
You have to mature and kind of...
You have to grow.
You have to grow.
Yeah.
And grow in a way that you want everything for that person.
Yeah. And sometimes you need that space to grow.
It's really challenging to grow together.
Yeah.
You know, because you have that dynamic, you know. You really need to be
to find yourself.
All of yourself and let go in a way that you're not reacting in a way that you just want to hold people to your chest.
Yeah.
You know, you want to put your arms down, be relaxed, and let them come to you. And if they don't, they don't. And if they do, they do. But once you start to hold on too tight is when you start losing things.
All right. So before the wedding, and we're at the end of the movie right now.
Right. This is the end, people. We're at the end.
At the food truck with the wife that he was talking about, the critic comes over.
The critic comes up. Yes, I got distracted.
And he pulls him aside. He pulls John Farber aside. He goes, hey, you know.
Oh, she murders him.
She wouldn't even serve him.
She goes, we have no food for you here.
Yeah, the wife murders the critic. We have no food for you. You're not getting nothing. She goes, let me just talk to the chef. He pulls the chef aside. He goes, hey, I can't. I'm not even going to, you know, says, the food is amazing. Is what he pulls him. He goes,
I sent someone to get you food because I knew you wouldn't serve me.
Yeah.
Your food's amazing. Sorry, I stepped on your toes.
No, you're fine. He goes, the food is amazing. And it would be a conflict of interest in me if I were to write something.
Yeah, I'm not going to write about it.
But I want to work with you.
I want to back you.
I want to back you. I bought this spot and I'm going to give you full autonomy. You
can
do what
build
you
it
want.
Out the way you want to build it out. I'll be the money. I sold my website.
Yep.
I sold my blog.
I got money.
I got money. He goes, nobody even has to know.
Yep.
I'll be in the background. This stuff's amazing. And he awkwardly offers him.
And he goes, he looks, he goes, hey, you know, you take your time. I see you do your thing right now. and you, this is how you get in touch with me. And then it cuts to the scene of the restaurant, which has the same logo as the food truck.
Yeah.
And
El Jefe.
And then you go in through, and they show you going through the motions. And that's how we end up finding that they got married. Because they go through the restaurant. It's a blocked off private event, but they're showing the son with some food. They're passing it around.
Yeah.
They show the new, you know, the new owner or the new partner. And that's where it clicks to the end of the movie. And it shows, hey, they got married. It's a big old party.
They got grandfather's married day. They got at the salsa band. Yes.
It's a family affair.
Yeah. So.
And everything comes full circle.
As far as at the end of all these restaurant movie, podcasts.
Yeah.
I like to ask, what do you rate the movie overall, and what do you rate it as a restaurant movie?
All right, so my, you know, what's funny is my overall rating as a movie is higher than as a restaurant movie. I gave it an 8.5 as a movie.
Okay,
because like I said, John Favreau is one of my guys, and he really does.
It's a solid story.
It's a solid story.
Okay,
you know what I mean. As a restaurant movie, it's more about the chef. It's not as about the restaurant. So I give it a 7 on that end, but it does touch on a lot of different things about the business. So that's why it's still a 7 to me. But
okay.
As a movie, I think it's an amazing movie.
Okay.
I thought I really enjoyed the movie as a whole. Like, I was like, man, this is solid right
now. I love discovering, new movies, although it's been out for a little while, 2014. I would give... I can't imagine too much more. I can't pick a lot of holes in the movie as far as, you know, distractions. That's
true.
What I call holes.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, this really, you know. So I gave it a 9.
Nice.
As an overall movie.
Yeah. It's a solid movie.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought that he sneakily did an excellent job being a crappy dad.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like an out of touch guy,
mm-hmm.
and he's a worker. He wants to work.
He's a worker.
He wants
bee, yeah.
to provide, mm-hmm. and so it's not a crappy dad in a way that he's an
like
all
a douchebag,
out, yeah, douche. But he's a crappy dad in a way that he's misguided and old school and just
exactly
doesn't really listen that much that mm-hmm. well and things like that. Now, as a restaurant movie, I would give it. I would give it an 8.5.
Okay.
As a restaurant movie, because it's not all set in a restaurant, but all of it is about a restaurant.
True.
You have a restaurant in a food truck.
Yeah,
you have a restaurant in your backyard. You have a restaurant in a brick and mortar. So, you know, yes, it's a chef, and you don't necessarily, I think for me, we break down and blur the lines of what, you know, a waiter is and mm-hmm. does, or a bartender is and does, and also a chef and a restaurant by extension. We
Absolutely.
Are constantly redefining what a
restaurant is. Absolutely.
And basically, any way that you're able to provide as a service
mm-hmm.
food to people who are paying and enjoying and returning, you have yourself a system there.
Absolutely.
How that occurs is... and should change, and is changing,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only way we're going to survive.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's like, you know...
It definitely showed an evolution, which was great.
There is an evolution. So if you had, do you have a restaurant if, let's say you have an app and, you know, you order a chef and the chef comes to cook and things like that, it's not a restaurant model, it's a service.
Exactly.
So that wouldn't be a restaurant movie for me, but you need a house, a vehicle, or mm-hmm. something that... is you
exactly
and your tools, right? And I enjoyed it for as a restaurant movie because you see that it was one of the first movies that I've seen that has that owner chef struggle.
Yes. No, I loved it. I thought it was an amazing movie.
Although I've witnessed those struggles, maybe not necessarily with an owner, but like the establishment, the system of the restaurant
mm-hmm.
where you know, a chef will come in and want to put his mark on it and it doesn't go that well
mm-hmm.
because people have been coming for the Valdosta chicken or the this and that, and they get upset. But guess what? Those people are coming in, but are they coming in every day, year after year? You have to step out and bring your job is to bring new people in as well as the old.
Yeah, you gotta keep the times moving.
Yeah, sometimes you're gonna fail at that.
Absolutely.
But you have to try. That's the whole point.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that is our show, people.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed the movie. I hope you guys enjoyed us recapping it for you.
Yeah, I hope you watched the movie before. Or I'm a person that would listen to this whole podcast and then watch the movie.
True.
You know?
And then give us your validation. And what would you rate the movie, or what did you think about it? And
yeah, are we high being too high on this movie?
I don't think they're going to find that at all. I think they're going to enjoy the movie just as much as we did.
I don't know what to think. But you know what I think? I think I'm grateful for you guys showing up each and every week. We are growing. And it's because of you. If you do like our show, pass it on to a friend. That's the way that you can support us at this time.
Yep.
And we are going to, you know, nominate someone, people. And we're
tell us about your rock star at your job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're going to get them on the show and learn together more about this business. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villa. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
We'll see you next week.
I just saw the finale. The motherfucker's 24. That shit is what?
Chicken tastes like life.
Yo.
Tastes just like life. Dude.
Somebody burn. Yo, it's out of control. That nigga's like a superhero, son.
I'm trying to tell you. Everybody's caught up in the movies, man.
Yo, man, it's like it's out of control, man. Man.
Yo, my life is like a movie, but it wasn't recorded. So sinking off the hook, guns and diamonds imported. I got that.